And the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Join Pastor Karen Wee Damilola Gabriel of Menorah School of the Spirit World as he heralds the revelation of the gospel of the kingdom and intimacy with the Godhead. Be blessed as you listen.
Thank you for gathering us once again this evening. Thank you for your word that will come to us. Thank you for the light that will break. Thank you for the unveiling. Thank you, Lord, for the revelation of your personality. Your name be praised forevermore. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord God, our Redeemer. In Jesus' precious name we are praying. Hallelujah. Please take your seat. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
We make welcome everyone in the Lord's name. You are welcome once again to Bible study. This is our weekly meeting. So we welcome you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are joining us maybe for the first time, or you have been joining us, ensure that you share the broadcast. Share the link with friends and with family. Ensure that you invite someone right now. We trust God to reveal Himself to us mighty once again in the name of Jesus. Alright. In our last meeting, we began to look at something very important. But I don't want to make progress in that light so that we can stay with our study. And stay with our study. And so I like every one of us to open our Bibles quickly to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians and chapter 1. The same verse we were considering last week before the gear shifted. Ephesians chapter 1. We are going to do verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Hallelujah. Alright, so we began to look into something very pertinent, and if you remember carefully, I was talking to us about the kind of gospel that saves. Okay, remember I began to talk about assumed salvation, assumed faith, and some of these things, they came on the template of motivation. Some of them came on the template of financial blessings. But you see, when you come to Christ, He will bless you financially. Do you want to be saved? Say, yes, I want to be saved. And people rush out. Alright? What they heard was money. It was that money that sponsored their appetite to go out to be saved, as it were. But according to scriptures, there is a kind of gospel that saves. If the gospel that was preached to you didn't capture this dimension, like I showed us last week, and I'm still going to show us that because we want to make progress from there. Alright? The gospel of the Lord Jesus must be weaved or entrenched with this dimension. If it is not within this dimension, then your salvation can be questioned. I said to us that many acclaimed believers who turned atheists, alright, today, many persons, many of them didn't receive the true salvation. Because if you don't receive the true salvation, convictions cannot be birthed. Are we together? Convictions cannot be birthed. Is it? When Apostle Paul began to speak, and he says that what shall separate us, or who shall separate us from the love of Christ, he was speaking from the place of conviction. It means that he knows too well that his separation from Christ is hard. Hallelujah. And he began to mention those things that has the capacity to do so. And he says, shall tribulation or peril, right? Persecution, nakedness. He says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. That's a man who received accurate pattern, accurate perspective of what revelation or what salvation captures. And he came to a point, he says, I know in whom I have believed and I am persuaded. Are you following me? It's persuasion. It's conviction. It's from that understanding of the revelation of Christ. And he knew too well that nothing can separate us. If you receive the true gospel, I tell you that the true gospel that you receive at the inception will give you strength, consolidation, persuasion, convictions about the Christ. Are we together? Yes? Yes. So the book of Jude, verse 24, thereabout, the Bible says, unto him who is able to keep us from falling, right? And to present us faultless before the glory of the Father. Unto him, that's who? Christ. If that's what you receive as salvation, by the revelation of the true salvation, I tell you, you'll be kept. All that he has given unto me, I have kept, except the sons of perdition. Are you following me? That thing that you receive, when you are about to head, it will always put you on track. Are you following me? That, you see, let me tell you something. No erring is accidental. No. There is no erring. You know what I mean by erring? E double R, right? There's no erring that is accidental. No, not one. Because the truth is, hear me, erring is a process. Is a what? Process. Nobody falls into sin without a process. Sin doesn't just jump on a man. No.
There's something that began that sponsored your appetite for what you eventually fell into. Something happened. Even if you are meeting a lady for the first time in your life, and it was that day you fell into immorality with that lady. It was not because that lady was so powerful to make you fall. It was because you have been sponsoring and nurturing lust in your heart for some time. So the lady coming is to whet that appetite. Are you following me now? So no erring is accidental. It takes a process to err. And do you know that while you are in that process, there is the voice of the Spirit locked up somewhere saying, don't do it. Don't do it. Are you following? Because God will never leave you without a witness. The Holy Ghost is the witness of the believer. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. So the Holy Ghost bears witness. No man falls just anyhow. It takes a process. It takes a process and you process it. Do you understand? Unto him I'm never afraid, and I tell you the truth, of hell or falling. You know, a lot of things that the believer, the problem we have is that even the kind of gospel that we have, they show you and they reveal the fear of that kind of arrangement. I don't know how to explain. So you see us opening the believer to the possibility of lusting instead of first of all revealing the revelation of Jesus that will superimpose that error. Instead of doing that, we reverse the case. So instead of showing Jesus, you show them lust. And their appetite for lust will begin to come alive. Will begin to come alive. That's not the way the gospel should be preached. Do you understand? You reveal Jesus. You tell the people that whatever you are going through, if it is lust or anything, your new nature in Christ Jesus has overruled it. So you have authority over sin. You have authority over erring. Of course, the possibilities of erring will come. They will knock you in the face. However, the revelation of Jesus that you are capturing and that you have captured will be able to knock off all of those errors. Do you understand? So it's good to talk about not falling into error. Very important in our spiritual journey, especially in the day and time that we are, that a lot of things has hit the church, and even amidst the youth right now, a lot is going on. People are pretending in church. They come to church, they are revealed as holy vessels. However, when they step out, you see a monster. Are you following me now? When people are in the church, you see us under the guise of holy existence. However, stepping outside of that corridor or that confine, when you begin to see people outside, you will imagine that is this the sister who sang yesterday in church? Because you are now confused. You cannot easily decipher if it was the same sister. And so that's why it is healthy for the church to begin to curtail people from errors. However, this curtailing will only be materialistic and realistic when the revelation of Jesus is at the peak and the apex of the reality that we reveal unto the people. If not, you are just revealing the devil to them, all right? And the devil begins to take cover. Are you getting it? Because you will gather them, and that lust will kill you. Lust will kill you. You tell them that you are going to hell. Amen. Do you understand? All because you are trying to curtail them. But that's not the way of Jesus. That's not the way of Jesus. You will discover the way of Jesus. Even when Jesus walked the earth, you see, that's our model. And we must be patterned after that reality. That pristine reality. The language of pristine is purity. So, and Jesus is that pristine vessel that we must look at to begin to decipher and model our existence, our journey in God. When every time Jesus met even with a sinner, you will never see anywhere of where he condemned it. All through scriptures, all through. They came to Jesus and they said to him that this woman was caught in the act. You know, our old pastor today, sir, you are gone. So you think you can make heaven like this? You are a dead person. You are just deceiving yourself. You can see for the case, you. I thought you have been in church for some time. You. There's something wrong with you. Amen. So the person who came to be restored, went back home destroyed. Have you seen people who decide that because of the way a pastor spoke, while he or she was in trouble, that she would rather stay in prostitution? Have you seen? There are people like that who are outside that the church that they expected hope from didn't give them. So they decided to stay in their errors. And so if we check to, you discover that many pastors, ministers of the gospel, they are pulpits. That's the truth. They are pulpits. And Jesus said to them, anyone who is without sin, let him first cast the stone. The day I read one scripture I've showed you before, I repented. Let me show you. You know it already, because I've shown you. Have you opened your book to Ephesians chapter 1? Just stay there and look at a passage before it. That's Galatians chapter 6, right? It's not far. So you don't have to open. Just look at it. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. Brother, considering your own self. Lest thou also be tempted. So it means that you are not above that mistake. What you are trying to restore your fellow brother. The Bible is saying that you can be guilty. You can create an allowance for the same thing that plagued that person to come to you. Are you following me now? So because it is someone else's that you see today, yours might be worse. If you know this, instead of condemning, you will pray. That's the way of Jesus. I didn't know how we say the name. But I believe that something is happening to someone. Are we together? Verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens,
and so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Hallelujah. So, let me leave this. I was talking about the gospel that saves, right? The gospel that saves. And we were able to look into 1 Corinthians chapter 15 last week. You see, why I have to go through that route is because we are in a day and time that people, believers, are even being scared. So people are not even, they don't have the assurance of salvation. Are you following me now? Have you noticed? People do not have the assurance of salvation. They are not stabilized because they are being scared. They are being scared away. I tell you, as long as you are consistent with the word of God, you are consistent with fellowship, nothing can scare you away. Nothing. Nothing. You have your stability in Christ. You are assured of eternal rest. I don't think it. What do I think? Fellowship life. How to grow more. I don't think that one day I'm going to be lost. How? There's a hand that holds you. There's a hand that carries you. Believe in that. Rest in that hope. Rest in Him. Because by strength shall no man prevail. Hallelujah. Rest in that hope. What are you pursuing? Maturity in Christ. Growing in Christ, advancing in Christ. That's what you are pursuing. The revelation of Jesus. Be more intentional. Just keep following Him. Keep following Him. Step by step, He leads you. Step by step, He leads you. Step by step. Hallelujah. People are being scared away. And so there's trouble. There's trouble. The foundation is first hearing the true gospel. The true gospel. That's the foundation. I tell you the truth. I can categorically tell you that those who are falling away heard wrongly. Are you following? And I gave us an example already that some people came into Christ because of money. They are not saved. They are not. Because their motivation was liquid. Liquid motivated them. Not the gospel. And that's the errors that the so-called prosperity gospel has perpetrated. I don't have anything against prosperity. Because I'm prosperous, right? So I don't have anything against it. But I have seen many of that false that came on the template of, if you come, Jesus will bless you. You don't have car, you will be saved. You want to be saved. Because we believe that that's another strategy to save people. And you don't know that there's a multiplier effect of demons going on in the church. Because you are only multiplying demons in the church. Demons who thought they came out to be saved. So you wonder how that people are coming to church. They are not growing.
Nothing is happening to them. Those are the kind of people that anytime money is not flowing, they don't come to church regularly. Right? They are miracles driven. They have this enterprise mentality. Right? Merchandising. And those set of people, they were captured in scriptures. John chapter 6, you will remember that there was a multiplying of food. Is that true? Jesus multiplied bread and fishes. Is that true? And so when he was done with that, people heard, and there was enough, so much so that they could carry leftovers of 12 baskets. Is that true? And do you remember that Jesus sailed onto the other side? And the Bible says that the people went to look for him. And when they came, Jesus said to them, that I know that you came, not because you have good motive. There's an ulterior motive that sponsored your adventure in search for me. Right? Do you remember? And from that place onward, Jesus began to perpetrate art doctrine. And they thought that what Jesus was saying was a carnivorous existence. Because Jesus said, listen to me, if you do not partake of my flesh and my blood, you are not part of me. And they were wondering that, are we carnivores? How do we eat you? And the Bible says something scary, that from that day onward, many of his disciples turned away from him. Many of them. This is why I see often that it is not miracles that will stabilize the church. As much as miracles are important, signs and wonders are important, the only thing that will stabilize the church is the word of life. Because you can receive miracles and still run away. So miracle alone does not guarantee your stability in God. No, sir. Because later on, Jesus turned to the 12 and said, won't you also go? And Peter was not in any way mentioning anything miracle. Peter said, to whom shall we go? Because in you is miracles. No. In you is signs and wonders. No. He says, in you is the world of eternal life. So what is making us stay are not the miracles that we see. What is making us stay is the world that you reveal. Are you following it? The church that will last the end of time, at the end of the age, is the word-based church, the word-driven church. There are people, right, who are not receiving prophecies. I say, you see, my sister, God will do this and that, will do this and that, right? That the only thing they believe in is the word. They are moving by the word of God, right? There are some environments that they don't welcome prophecies. Be aware of that. And you realize that many of them are doing better. Because many of the prophecies that you hear about, they are delayed. Amen. At least some of you have heard some. 5 years, you are not saying anything. Some 10 years, 15 years. So you, am I undermining prophecies? No. But in fact, what do you call prophecy? The word of God. Right? All scriptures are inspired, right, by God. They are profitable for doctrine, right, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. Is that true? All scriptures are prophetic compendium, right? Scriptures are what? Prophetic compendium. The entirety of scriptures. What of the window that opens up accurate prophecy is the Word. The Word of God. The Word of God is the portal into prophecy. The entrance, the entry point. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the gospel that saves. Have you noticed that some people in church who struggle to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Many of them. There are some business students who don't like sitting alone. Just want to come out. I can tell you that many of them, their salvations are because. Because they believe that the Holy Ghost can be procured with money. Such is the man that you remember? That thy money perish with him. You say you can procure the gift of the Spirit by money? You will serve. That's why in our day, we don't just want to sponsor the gospel. Sit down to also learn the gospel. We don't only need your money, we need your life. You cannot give us your life, stop giving us your money. Do you understand? You cannot stay to hear Bible study on Tuesdays. Then we don't need your money. Because what's the point? God is first interested in the offering of your life before your offering. Did you get that? God is first interested in the offering of your life before your offering. If your substance is without substance, we don't need it. Do you know that? If your substance is without what? Do you know what substance is? Faith. Life. If your substance is without substance, we don't need your money. Are you following? So we need a people that your entirety. Let me give you a prophecy about the church. That there will be a shift of gear. There will be wealth transfer. And this wealth transfer will be handed over to kingdom-driven presence. Are you following me? Because many have failed God. Many. Many. But now, in the last days, the Lord will ensure that wealth returns to those who are kingdom-driven. Because seek ye first the kingdom and its righteousness, right? Every other thing shall be added unto you. So those who are kingdom living, they are going to handle wealth in their billions, in their millions. Why? Because the Lord has read the scroll upon their heart, and he could decipher what is written upon their heart. That these ones have at the back of their mind, at the back of their heart, their spirit, the kingdom as a foremost reality. Foremost. Ultimately. You begin to know your life like that. If money comes into your hand and the first thing you think about is kingdom, you begin to know that you are part of those that we are referring to. That as money enters your hand, you think how to give for the purpose of the kingdom. You do not first think car or clothes. You think the kingdom. And it's not something you can manufacture. It's a consciousness. So that you are saying, Pastor, now say, so let me just see. No, you can't manufacture. It's consciousness. It is weaved into your consciousness. So you don't show. I know few people that I know God can trust them with money because I can trust them. I've seen them over the years that even as little as 500 naira,
They will drop the quota of God. I tell you the truth. You don't know that we read people a lot. I, for one, I read everybody. If I can know your heart, if I can know your giving capacity, how much more God? But people say, I don't have enough. You will never have enough. Nobody has enough. Elon Musk doesn't have enough. If you ask him now, he tells you, I don't have enough. Yes. Because as long as you are on this earth realm, you cannot have enough. But there's the oil in your hand that can multiply. That was the demand on this Zarephath woman, right? What do you have? There must be something that you have. There must be something. There must be something. Some people, some people lack supply. Because in these small, small ways, they have been tested and they failed. And you begin to imagine that when I need supply is not forthcoming, have you been faithful? Do you understand? It's a law in the spirit. It's the law of sowing and reaping. It's a law. It's a principle. You know what I mean? Is that sometimes, many of the times that you are investing, not in the sense of investing to harvest, alright? That I'm giving to God like I'm whatever. No. I'm talking about your labors, your investment. Alright? Many times, if it is liquid that you are investing, well, I don't know. But by experience, you don't get to see the returns of liquid. You know what I mean by liquid? Okay. Of liquid immediately. Yeah? But by experience, when the need arises, those things will begin to speak. Are you following? I tell you the truth. By experience. Don't let me delve into this again. Let's stay with the gospel that says, right? And I want us to move ahead so that we can do a lot of business today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's go over that scripture once again. Oh, thank you, Lord. Are we monitoring our online community? Alright, thank you. Alright, moreover, brethren. 1 Corinthians 15. You see, I call this the triology of the gospel. The triology of the gospel. If you check my Bible, I wrote it as heading. The day I encountered this reality, the triology. Alright? Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. Are you saying this? That it is on the basis of this gospel that you are what? That you are saved. Oh. My brothers, are you seeing this? Sisters, are you seeing this? That what Apostle Paul is saying to us is that the gospel I'm about to present to you, it is on the template of this gospel that you are saved. So it means that anything outside this gospel is a fluke, is a mirage. He says it is by this gospel, number one, that you are standing, right? Number two, he says that you are saved. Your salvation is tied to this gospel, right? If ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in... Alright, so two kind of believers. In church, those who believed in vain and those who believed in gain.
Are you getting it? Those who believe in vain. So it means that you can be in church, you believe actually, but your belief is in vain. Ah! Are you getting it? So, at a point in time in the parable of Jesus, right? Let me use this as a supply to bring clarity to you. That he says that when man slept, the enemy came, right? And sowed tares into the wheat and went his own way. You know that when they began to see that the tares and the wheat were developing together, there was a sense of urgency to cut off the tares from growing with the wheat. But there was a proclamation that, leave it. Let them both grow together until harvest. So it means that you can be in church, you are believing in vain, and you grow together Are you following me? Until you go back to believe in gain, to believe in truth, in verity and veracity. So it's not too late. You can re-believe. So that you will not assume that you are saved, however you are far. Because it says that they believed in vain. If it is not this gospel, then your belief is in vain. It didn't say that you have not believed. It says that you believed truly. But the point is that the belief is in vain. Are you getting blessed? This is what we do when we teach. Alright? You give the people, you reveal things to them. Gradually, you are not in your own. You are not in your own. The journey is ongoing. It's not a sprint. Right? One sprint. Quick race. Thank you. The journey that we are in is ongoing. Learning calls is a continuum. It's ongoing. So we have been adopted into learning systems. Unless they are believed in vain. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which all I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. Say one. Say one. Number 4. Verse 4. And that he was buried. Say 2. And that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, the trilogy of the gospel. How many is that? 3. So that's why I called it. The Holy Ghost ministered that to me when I was reading this list. I heard in my ears the trilogy of the gospel. If it is not by this way, how that Christ did what? Died. Number 2, that he did what? He was buried. Number 3, that he rose again. If it is not what is preached, my sister, you need revisitation. And you need recalibration. This is the gospel that says it must have the texture of this reality. Not that it will be said exactly this way, alright? But it must have the composition, not just the composition, the texture of the burial, the death of Jesus, the burial of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus. Not money. I want this generation. I'm a young person, right? But at least I have little voice. And so I can still speak with my generation. At least for those that the Lord has given to us. To caution us. Is that true? That's why you don't see me include anything like that. I've been to places to minister several years, still counting. You know, I was to tell some people to give in the church recently. Normally I don't do that. And so by calling them to give, I said to them that I will never tell you that as you are giving like this, God will open doors. I said, no, you are giving because you are blessed. You want to give unto the Lord. I will not tell you that God will open 3 doors for you. Or as you are doing this, you are receiving a key to your car. What's my word at? Because that's the kind of thing that we have arranged in church. So people give on that basis. That if I give God this, there will be plenty. Plenty. Told you some time ago, my wife and myself, all that we had, maybe except 1 5 that we in the account, everything we put them together. You know? There was no return for months. Amen. I'm telling you about maybe 3 years ago or last year. But do you know how much we have spent? Is that gadget that was not even up to 100K? But that we now give, we are expecting that as we give this huge amount, 1,500,000 or 1,000,000 would just show it to us the account. Deception. We deceive ourselves. Brethren, don't give to connect with any anointing. Say, I want to pass the grace upon Papa, upon the man of God. Say, I want to start grace. So that's the reason. That's what is sponsoring your appetite to go and drop seed. You are just deceiving yourself. Amen. I left that realm years ago. In fact, the fact that even the person that I be will not even acknowledge. Amen. He will not even acknowledge. At least when I see receive things from people, I see bless them. Say God bless you. No acknowledgement. Due date for years. Now some of you, even if the other person you didn't even acknowledge that I gave. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The trilogy of the gospel. This is the gospel that saves. So that when you are preaching to others, you know what to preach. And if you have been preached and it doesn't have this content, you know you have to adjust. Do you understand? You have to read yourself and believe. You know the reason why this is important? I explained in recalibration. If you have read that book, the point is a lot of persons believe that Jesus came. They believe that Jesus died, but a whole lot didn't believe in his resurrection. So if you preach the death of Jesus is burial alone is not sufficient for salvation. That's why we have the Sadducees. The Sadducees do not believe in resurrection. Are you following? There are people up to date who don't believe in resurrection. So if the gospel is going to be complete, it has to comprise of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Very important. Very important. Let me put this. Ephesians 1. In whom he also trusted, after that he heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. After that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Glory to God. Let's try to stay in this place for a few periods. The Bible says that after that ye believed, you were sealed. You know, there are still people with a school of thought that you have to send special invitation to the Holy Ghost. Jonathan. Because people do not believe, some do not believe, that at salvation, the Holy Ghost became your possession. You were possessed of the Spirit. In fact, I explained to you from scriptures that you couldn't even have believed without the Holy Ghost. And so, listen to me. The signet, the sign that you believed is the sealing of the Spirit. Are you following? The sign that you believed is the sealing of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was used as a seal, was used as a signet. The Holy Ghost, you see, the Holy Ghost is the glory of Christianity. Without the Holy Ghost, Christianity has no glory. What makes Christianity glorious is the Spirit of God. That's why the Bible calls the regime of the Holy Ghost the regime of glorious liberty. Glorious liberty. So what gives you your authentication? Authentication, sorry. What gives you that seal is via the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the seal of salvation. The same way that if you procure a commodity, alright, especially in grocery stores or large supermarkets or supermarkets, alright, what authenticates that procurement is the receipt. Is that true? You notice that if you are heading out from that grocery store, there are security men at the door who wants to check what you procured. They are not just looking at what you bought, they are looking at the receipt. So if you say that, if you kept the receipt in your pocket and you show them your commodity, they say no. Because the commodity alone will not suffice. We want to see the authentic seal. What you bought is giving a seal. Are we together? So, the receipt of salvation is the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost is that seal
birth, the man in Christ was possessed of the Spirit. Are you following? You see, listen. When you subscribe to demonic intelligence, you'll be possessed of demons. Are you following? You'll be possessed. The only thing that can dispossess you is your subscription to life, to Christ. Right? So you think, do you think that you are just walking anyhow before you came into Christ? No, something was driving your intelligence, your conviction. It's demonic intelligence. Even though you were church, demon was still your reality. Demon. All you thought, you became born again from the womb. No, all along that you were not born again, your reality was demonic. Even though you are doing good, you are still evil. You are not aware. Even though you were doing good, you are still evil. Listen, everything about what you call spirit is first a nature before it is a reality. Either demonic or spiritual. Nobody is possessed of the devil without showcasing the devil. Nobody is possessed of the devil without marketing the devil. Nobody. So, the seal of your subscription to that life of the devil, right, is demon. Demon. One of the ways, that's why you see that in occultism, if they are to do initiation, you don't just become an occult anyhow. Say, I'm just occultic. No. You cannot just decide to be occultic. Do you understand? Especially if you are going to join a group. If you are going to join a group, there are rites and rituals that you have to put in place. Because that is their own seed. For example, the Ogbonis, they have a mark. They have a seed with which you can identify if you travel to the U.S. or anywhere in the world, you can identify that this is an Ogboni. There is a place that the mark is on their body. I know it. I've seen one before that confessed. How do you follow it? He showed me. That's their own seed that you are now part of them. If you are going to be a part of God, the seed of your being part of God is the Holy Ghost. Are you following me? Our seed is who? The Holy Ghost. You know what seal means, right? At least some of you must have dispatched letters and all before, or you receive, right? You notice that for the letter to be authenticated, there must be a seal on it. When, if you read the seal, the name on it, you know the integrity of the sender. Right? So the way God proved himself to be part of you, the way God proved himself that you are now possessed of God, the seal is the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is that witness that makes you know that now that you are born again, you are now possessed of God. Are you following me?
These are supernatural things I'm teaching you. Because many are in church that, you know, we operate as though God is far. As though the Holy Ghost is far. You know, there are some church services that we decide to invite the Holy Ghost and say, come down. We want to see you in our midst. Do you understand me? Come down now. Come down. Amen. And when we leave the church environment, it's as though the Holy Ghost has gone again. That he came in church, but outside the church he has gone. So it's not easy for you. Eh? You comported in church, but outside you can discomfort. So that's why it's easy that you leave the church environment and you enter into fornication outside the church environment. Because you have relegated the operations of the Spirit to the confines of the church, not knowing that you are mobilizing the Spirit. At new birth, the Spirit of God became intertwined, infused, alright, with the Spirit of the man in Christ. So the abode of the Holy Ghost is within the Spirit of the man in Christ. That is his dwelling place. There's nowhere else better he could dwell in, except the place that has been regenerated, that gives him inroad and expression. Do you understand? If any man be in Christ, that man is a new creature. What became a new creature was your spirit, not anywhere else. Your spirit became a new creature. And one of the reasons why your spirit has to be recreated is because that spirit must give allowance for the operation of the spirit. And because God has limited himself to spiritual existence, and the only way that God can transact with men is within the scope of spiritual existence. And your spirit is a spiritual reality. So your spirit will give accessibility for God to operate through force the window of your spirit and every other gateway that you give that right of way. Notice I said that you give. Because if you do not give it, the Holy Ghost can be your spirit and is restless. Are you following? Yes, the Holy Ghost can be your spirit. And you are living in sin anyhow. Why? Because you are not giving the Holy Spirit that right of way to take the steering and drive the course of your destiny. The same way that he drove Jesus into the Holy Ghost is the driver. He wants to drive. He drove Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. That's a powerful language. It's a language of driving. The one who is on the steering is the one controlling the car. Right? If you decide to switch the steering into the bush, you cannot be exempted. Are you? Especially if all the doors are central locked. Wherever the car is going, you are going. And it is on the basis of the person who is the controller. Because the driver of the car is the controller of the car. But if the Holy Ghost becomes your driver, he controls your destiny. He controls your life. He shifts the gear of your life to wherever he wills. Oh, glory. It defines your life. It defines your existence. It defines your reality. Only if you make him sit at that place. Alright? And find expression. So the seal with which we have been sealed at salvation is the Spirit. So one way I will know that you are born again
is that you have the witness of the Spirit constantly ongoing in your efforts. Witness of the Spirit. You do not have the witness of the Spirit, you are not born again. Are you born again? Because that's where you were saved. You were saved by that Holy Spirit of promise. And that is the reason why that Apostle Paul had to mention that Holy Spirit, so that you will not think it's another spirit. Apostle Paul specifically said that Holy Spirit of promise. You know what he was referencing? He was referencing what Jesus said to the disciples, that I send you the promise of my Father. And the promise, he said, was the Holy Ghost. That's it. He says, I go to my Father, and I will send you another comforter, Anos Parakletos. Is that true? The same person that will come in my stead, and he will be with you forever. Now, he is with you, but he will live in you. Do you understand? So, Apostle Paul was bringing that reference point. And it says, that Holy Spirit of promise, the same one, not another spirit, the same Holy Spirit that was promised by the same Jesus. He says that it is that Holy Spirit that we have been sealed with at new birth. Because it says, after they believed, right? You are not following. After they believed, they were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Not before. Are you with me? Not before. Because, listen to me, the Holy Spirit operated before salvation. But nobody was sealed under the old covenant with the Spirit. Oh God. How did the apostles, or the prophets, sorry, the prophet of old, how did they prophesy? By the Spirit of Christ. That's what Peter told us. They prophesied by the Spirit of Christ. So the Holy Ghost was all along in existence. Alright? But the point is that under the old, nobody had the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Because the sealing of the Holy Spirit can only come at new birth. It's after you believe. The sealing of the Holy Ghost is come on the basis of your believing. After they believed, they were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Are we together? Were there people who believed in those covenants? Yes. Abraham believed. And it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Is that true? Who believed in him? Many of them. Noah. In fact, Jesus came to a point and I said, your father Abraham longed to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Right? You know what I mean? I told you know the Bible. I told you something like a quote. It's strange. Is this one in the Bible? Amen. But were they saved? No. Were they saved? No. Were I explained to us that salvation will only come through resurrection. Yes, that's correct. Jesus clearly stated, John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man comes to the Father except through me. That's salvation. Are you aware of that? So it's saying invariably that no man can be saved except through me. Because it is when you are saved that you can come to the Father. Right? So if Jesus hadn't come, died, buried, and resurrected, nobody could be saved. That was why all of the patriarchs, right, after their demise, after their death, all of them were held bound in hell. The hell called paradise. Right? They were bound. Even though they loaned from salvation, but it was not sufficient until Jesus came and delivered those who were held captive in hell, paradise. Are we together? This is why when Jesus died, Matthew 27, when he died, the Bible says that there was earthquake and the ground broke open, and the spirit of those who were dead came back alive. They rose, and men saw them walking in Jerusalem. That was their emancipation. That was their freedom. If not, they would have remained there. All their life, all that they believed, was sufficient enough to keep them in hell. Until Jesus came. And that was the crux of their own salvation. The crux. C-R-U-X. Alright? Is that clear? Exactly. After they believed, they were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Right? Okay? Let me show you Romans chapter 8. Let me show you something that Paul moved forward. Romans chapter 8. Oh God. Help me, Lord. Romans 8, are we there? Let's do verse 8 and verse 9. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But, someone say, but. You see, when we read some of these things, sometimes it seems as though maybe they are not real. We don't seem to believe our reality. Right? Now, hear what the Bible says. It was succinct. It was clear enough. It says, verse 8, so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye, who are those referring to? It says, but ye are not in the flesh. Say, I'm not in the flesh. So the flesh cannot control me. You know why the flesh is controlling you? Because you don't know that you are not in the flesh. When you begin to equip yourself with this revelation that I am not in the flesh,
the flesh will begin to run.
The reason why the flesh is having foothold is because you are alien to your reality. So every time the flesh wants to speak, the revelation that you have infused into yourself will now begin to speak again. That no, I'm no longer in the flesh. Right? Are you getting it? The point is, you cannot be stupid enough. Look up. You can't be stupid enough for anybody to confuse or to convince you that you're a man. You can even slap the person. Even if it's me, you don't care. Being your pastor doesn't matter. See, how would you say I'm a man? And I insist that you're a man. I insist that you're a man. You know why you will never believe? Because you have risen to maturity. You have grown with that intelligence of womanhood. Is that true? When you, if I tell you that you are a man, you begin to look at yourself, you look at your configuration, that no. But I have all, do you understand? Yes! You will look at yourself again and say, it's still there. Do you understand? You have grown with that. I can still convince a toddler. Is that true? Yes, an adolescent, I can still convince that person.
And so you say, you are a king. I'm talking to a boy. He will laugh.
But an adult, we argue it tooth and nail. We argue it. You know why? You have been so abreast with that reality. Your convictions have been weighted. All along, you have grown more than 20 years to know that I am a woman. Nothing can convince you or even confuse you. If you say to yourself, well, that I am in the spirit, I live in the spirit, and you build that consciousness, the flesh, we run. Do you know why? Because there is a lust between the two. The flesh lusted against the spirit, and the spirit lusted against the flesh. Is that true? If the flesh arrives now and insists that where it's coming to is not empty, the flesh will run. When it sees that the spirit is replete and full of revelation, the flesh says, we can't touch this one. We can't. Don't let me change my topic, please. See, I try to do all of these things so that struggling with sin, struggling with any kind of thing, we die in our lives. And I tell you how it can be remedied. Nobody has arrived. But I tell you that we are getting better. Every time. I know I am not in the flesh. They that are in the flesh cannot please God, but me. You know, people with legalistic operation don't believe all of these things. They don't like it. Third, the flesh will still kill you. Will kill you. They don't like seeing where the Bible says that we are not in the flesh. Instead, they try to reveal the flesh more. We tend to reveal the, you know, imagine people gathering every time. And every time you gather, you are crying. Say, hey, flesh. Hey, flesh. Ah, oh, flesh. What? You don't give me. Don't. You cry. You go into the weak, you fall. You come again, you cry. The weak, you fall. How long do you want to continue? The Bible says that you are not in the flesh. Why can't you equip yourself with the revelation of your newness? That I am now in the spirit. And what do you do? Check the spirit, the lifestyle of the spirit. You will notice that life is not included, right?
Yes, sir.
You will notice that errors are not included. So you begin to lay hold on that spirit essence that you are coming into. And you begin to say, no. In my spirit estate, we don't lie. Instead of magnifying the flesh and giving the flesh right of way, you are saying, oh, in my spirit estate, we don't fall anyhow. In my spirit estate, we are not failures. In my spirit estate, we don't masturbate. I have okay here. It may take time, but that's the solution. You know why it may take time? Because it took time for that knowledge to be captured in your essence, in your soul. So deleting that knowledge may also take time. Let me tell you something. If you go through another route for masturbation to leave, maybe somebody lay down on you and it just went. I tell you, sooner or later, it will come back. Because the way by which that thing will go and be exterminated totally is by knowledge, by revelation. Somebody's anointing can help you now, and you stop doing it temporarily. But that void of knowledge is still there. So, and that will take advantage of ignorance. The moment the thing notices that you are not becoming ignorant, it comes back. So, if a spirit leaves a place and it goes everywhere, comes back and it saw that place is empty. Are you following me? That's why I tell you that it is the journey of knowledge. Just give yourself to knowledge of God's word. Give yourself to it. Yes. Give yourself to the knowledge of God's word. Let knowledge defeat that struggle. Let knowledge terminate that ignorance. Don't look for a quicker route. Someone else's grace. So just lay your hands on me. I know if you lay your hands on me, this loss will die. I tell you, it will work. In fact, it can work for 10 years. It can work for 10 years. You will enjoy. You say, thank you, Jesus. The day that man prayed for me, the thing just died. And 1 year, you are okay. 2, 3. You will think that you are free. But a day breaks that you are left with a woman. And you saw that you were helpless. Because you boycotted a route of knowledge, you look for a faster route. As much as that route is good, that somebody helps you and breaks that yoke, alright? If you want to sustain it, you have to go for knowledge. It is knowledge that will sponsor the stability of your deliverance. Else, you just notice a recycling of the same thing happening over and over again. You boycott knowledge, you are done for. You boycott knowledge, you are what? I heard now that some people don't even go to school. That they can procure certificates in 1 minute. Come on. And that's what those boys are doing now. So when you talk to them about school, they say, what? They are buying certificates in Ghana. And they will go and sell. Because they didn't want to go through the rigor of sitting down in classes every time to listen to a lecturer. So the route with which they are applying is the route of money that we can procure. There are universities in Ghana. We are not in the world.
I'm speaking from my experience, not personal, but one I've gathered. But of course, you know that I went. So, you know I don't have money to buy the food. Where will I do that? Knowledge. Don't let me stay here. But I'm just showing you scriptures that gives me conviction. See, when I teach you things, right? I tell you that majority of them are things that I've rooted upon. That have been controlling my life. I will show you Matthew 6. Alright? So I know that my needs will be met. I know. You just be surprised how things are working. Not because I'm a preacher. There are preachers who are doing this. But there are scriptures that you lay hold on that will stir up your convictions forever. Recently, we were calculating some things. And when we saw what we needed, this was like a mountain before me. But the word of God came. And the things began to come. The mountains were, they were melting. The weight come, you know, understand. I came home on Sunday. Somebody just said, Pastor, I need to send your details now. I need a light now. No information. No, no. And it's not a joke. Okay. The word of God. The word of God. We have not shown you cunningly devised fables. That's why I tell people, if you are listening to me, if you want the covenant of the house to regulate you, you must obey what the house is saying. If you say, if I say come for meetings, I know what I'm saying. If I say listen to messages, because your manifestation is tied to the instructions. So you can hear supernaturally, our year of supernatural. I say, it's our year. And I tell you, you will not be a partaker. Neglecting instructions. You say, well, some people say, we don't have testimonies. Don't worry, neglect instructions. Say you are part of a place. We are not sure that you are part. I tell you and I teach you the way of wisdom. If you want the covenant to regulate you, everything tied to the work, to the commission, you must. This evening, the spirit of wisdom came. What you saw me typing and wrote was the spirit of wisdom. The Holy Ghost just dropped everything as I laid it. And he told me that if they are going to move, I didn't want to put many things inside that place. That was enough. Don't let me even say so many things. Wisdom to keep some things. That was enough. What I wrote was enough. So that you don't look as though it is just some people moving forward. When I talk about moving forward, I'm not only referring to your spiritual growth, it's cut across every area of your life. So that you don't look as though as thoughts about it. But we are not saying it. The one telling you, those things is telling you, he is doing them. And that's why I see results.
When I say win souls, you like comply. It is, I will not tell you that maybe I will teach, but I don't know that kind of doctrine. That teaching people that if you do this, this will happen to you. That you win souls, money will be coming, this will happen to you. I don't want that to be the terror of the appetite. Do it from the place of love. That you love God. That's all. Of course, when you do those things consistently, I tell you, things back them up. I'm a living witness. Things back them up. And sometimes I like to say, these few experiences, so that you can know that what we teach works. But if you disalign with the covenant, you know, the spirit of wisdom began to speak to me today, forging what he was telling me. But I didn't want to post that. He says many of them are everywhere. Committed everywhere. When one person can have 10 places, it's going in one. You will kill yourself. You will kill yourself. You see this one, look at this place, you see him there. Look at that place, you see him. You see, you look at 5-6 places. Sometimes you might say, I don't have money. When all your money, you have exhausted it on going to places. So you have to intentionally withdraw. Even if it's from here. If it's from here. It's better you withdraw from here and you are committed in a place. I tell you the truth. We are not looking for Aaron, many. That's why I said, even if it is from here, it's better you withdraw. Because you cannot be part of a system and there's no faithfulness to it. And God rewards faithfulness. If your faithfulness is not tied to it, you can't reap the dividend tied to that commission. So if you are in two places, let's know you are in two. I know they are not, it's not clashing. So that all your commitment can be in the place that God has assigned you. Some of us have to withdraw. It's the truth. My eyes must be single. My eyes must, so that I can give my all. There are places I served. But along the line, you have to withdraw and face what God has called you to. Hallelujah. I teach you what the spirit of wisdom says to me. I was not thinking it. The spirit came. You know what I'm talking about? One of the seven spirits. Don't worry. Do you know that why he was saying that to me as he was talking? And that's what was talking in my spirit. Right? As I began to see faces of people, those he was referring to, when he was saying, some of them are everywhere. So, my own reasoning now came to me. And I began to say, hey, it's true. I didn't want to go into this text. Alright. So that you know things. That I shut down some things on purpose. Thank you, Lord. You know, this year it's my desire that every of our lives make meaning. But that's just a word of knowledge. But the wisdom behind it, word of wisdom, is that once we make your life make meaning, are the things that the Holy Ghost, you know, the Holy Ghost gave me the thing for the journey, not you. So it is me we tell. What will sustain the journey? So the things that he tells me are the things I also tell you. That it is the year of the supernatural. You will just notice that the end of the year comes and all your life was natural. If there are no alignment and synchronization with the things that the man utters, And so you remember in the first question I said, if you are going to be hot, be hot. Right? Do you remember? You know, I just try to pick words with wisdom. I don't want to be opening a lot of things. You saw the post that I shared that talks about wisdom. Do you remember? About my ministry is not. Hallelujah. If you are going to be cold, be cold. You can't be in the middle. You can't. If you know you are going to be coming for meetings regular, you are not ready. Sit at home. Not come today, don't come tomorrow. Or come in the next 2 months. After. Hallelujah. Do you know what they call faithfulness? Do you know what they call commitment? These are the things that some of us are enjoying today. I tell you, I speak before God, man, I lie not in holiness. There are things that when I see them happening in my life, and I go to God, I say, God, I didn't know how this thing happened. The Lord will refer me back to a particular time. He said, do you know what you did? Tell you. I lost something some time ago. And that thing was not this particular thing. It was resolved. After I went to meet the Lord. My phone was bad sometimes, right? Because when things happened to me, I go to church with the Lord. And so when I got another one by gift, I went to meet the Lord. He said to me, do you remember when you sold your phone on campus for the purpose of the kingdom? So it will not allow me to be without a hope. So if you felt that your heart just said to give me a hope, no. No, it's not because your heart just said. Are we together? Imagine God keeping records. I wonder. So do you remember? Say, don't worry, you say, God, don't keep record of me. Don't worry. Not to any help. Doesn't keep record. Some of these things, we know them by experience. Alright? We know. People come and give us theories, doctrines, and all. But when you begin to enter into experience, you will know some things by yourself. So when they are giving you some kind of theory that you don't argue, but you know how you follow the Lord. You know how the Lord operates with you. Me, I know that it keeps records. Because by experience, I've seen it. I'm not teaching it to you as a doctor. Alright? I'm telling you my privatized, customized experience. Some of you see my experience. And I'm not saying maybe it is record of evil and other things. That's not what I'm saying. But their track record of your faithfulness, the track record of your commitment. Do you know that sometimes the commission you are faithful to when you call upon that God of that commission, He will answer. Abonias. I'm supposed to be doing Bible study, but the spirit of wisdom has come with you. You will answer. Do you know the things that we speak in those days when you call it? Your track records. Your track records. Very important. After I have exhausted what I said, hey, I sat down sleep. I just studied with my phone. I was lying down there. When the one who is faithful came again, I believe he's there. He knows. Know what I've exhausted. And I was, you understand? But I sat here. The one who spirit came. I saw it and I began to rain my prayers on the person. I was laying, I opened the thing like this and I was praying for the person. That's the way I do. Even if it is 500 naira. The one who is faithful. So saying to me to commit my life to the gospel, I've never thought twice to go and look for God again. It is those who are lying that think twice. Am I sure that? Am I sure it's full? Am I? Amen? No! No, I'm not doubting it. I'm not doubting it. Because I understand the mystery of the ravens. You know, we did that during the lockdown, right? The ravens. I told you that the raven is a miser, very stingy. Very extremely stingy. Yet I told you that the person who didn't even like me was one who blessed me, that I remember, with that huge amount. But this time around, it was the person who liked me. The person just said, the thing started from last year. The man just saw me. I will keep the is an influential person. He's in government. He's working with Buhari government. I just like him. There are prayer points that you need to pray with. You know, people can just see you, they just hate you. You didn't do them anything wrong, but they don't just say the way your face looks. I mean, they have never heard you spoke before. They have never heard you. They just said, I just hated. The first time I met, I just hated that. There are prayer points here. That people want to help you and things are just spoiling for them. It's the time that they wanted to help you that something just happened. Do you understand? Prayer. Some things are not ordinary. So sometimes you have to take yourself intentionally. Lay hands on yourself. Anywhere I go to, I must be accepted. I must. It's a grace. I'm not making mouth. It's a grace upon me. I don't know how it happens. My wife, and the final time I get home, I say that every time. I don't know. I don't just know why God has done this to me. Everywhere the soul of our shall be fed upon shall be taken for us as what? As an inheritance. Of course, not everybody will like you, but the majority should not hate you. You see, I don't need to like a few. You may know. You don't need to. Majority should not hate you. You just notice that your life will not make money. I met him twice. The first time he said that word, the second time he said it. The very first time he said it, he didn't even say I like you. I came back with something. And during this time, I'll not open my mouth. See, let me teach you something, brother. Whatever you are doing, keep doing it. If you are known for the gospel, keep preaching the gospel. Please, be committed. If you are in a place, be committed. A day will be that something will single you out. I'm telling you my experience. I told you some time ago, by privilege of information, I heard that some persons were so minister in the place. And I was one chosen amongst because I don't want us to be guessing. If you are walking, do it as though Christ is your supervisor. Do you understand? If you are into business, into the work of the ministry, you are a workforce. Carry it on your head. Let them talk. And said, is he the only one? Leave them. He does that thing, the only one who knows how to sing. Leave them. What are you doing? You are laying up treasures for yourself in heaven. Where no moth nor rust can abide. I'm speaking a lot today from my spirit. Because I wondered what the Lord has given us this year will be experienced in the life of everyone. That you become an experience. The one who spoke to me from the beginning of the year, I've been seeing it. So it means that his truth is word. Is that true? His truth is word. Even over the corporate body, we have seen it. Is that true? Who could have believed that someone can survive from that kind of accident? Did you see it? Did you see the boss? And when I was having conversation with him, he said, when others were running helter-skelter, he was even balanced. And they were shut down. They were trying to rescue them. He was even seated. Revelation. The things that we teach here, when you put it to mind, you will see results. You will see results. The Menorah confession transcended into someone's dream. Is that true? He began to confess in the dream. And when he confessed it, the people suffered. And he said, from that day onward, I've been confessing it every morning. So not just on Tuesday that we'll be here. Brethren, I show you the way of truth. When we speak life. Albeit we speak wisdom in a mystery. I speak wisdom to you. And everyone listening to me online, I speak wisdom. You want to be a part of the corporate reality that the Lord has invested upon this body. You have to subscribe. You have to subscribe. People think that men of God have favorites. No, they don't. But you will never isolate somebody who is faithful. Is that true? So if you have 100 faithful persons, you like them. Is that true? So it's not about nepotism. It's also favoritism, right? It's not about nepotism. If you can have 1 million people who is faithful, you still love them. Say so it's related with some persons, doesn't it? What is your own image? Do you understand? I'm talking to God. Somebody said, he said, I love givers. That's the pastor. Do you remember? What are you saying there? Why will you hate? Why will you hate such? Somebody who contributes to kingdom advancement. You don't get. Let's be realistic with ourselves. You check the post, you see the name. See how this person is consistent for 3 years, 5 years. I just hate the person. I just hate. The pastor said, I love dinner. What are you saying? You think it's a joke to procure instruments? You think it's a joke for the gospel to try? You think it's a joke for the man of God to travel when we're preaching the gospel? Is it traveling by sand? What's making him travel? Liquid money. And there are some people responsible. And you won't love them. Come down. Sorry. Glory to God. But you hear people talking as they say, go out and transform. I didn't say that. I said people talking outside. All those bad boys. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But ye are not in the flesh. About it. Do you get that? This is antidote. I told you about a brother that said to me, that he has fasted for about 6 years, praying because of masturbation. Do you remember? And he gave to me. The moment you say that, you know there are people that you are able to diagnose their issue immediately. When the rich young ruler came to Jesus, Jesus was able to diagnose his problem. Even after saying that he already fulfilled all that Jesus mentioned, Jesus said, okay, there is one thing that you are lacking. And what that is, go and sell all that you are. Followed, right? So I was able to diagnose the problem.
The problem is not prayer. It's praying well. It's fasting well. But it lacks revelation. That's why, you see, the word of God and prayer must be synergized with revelation. Else, your prayer becomes impotent. You know, I tell you this often. Your word and prayer must be synergized with revelation. Else, your prayers become impotent. The way that prayer is activated is on the basis of active revelation. If your father feeds them, your father, your own, is feeding the fowls of the head. That was my breakthrough. My own father feeding the people is not fathering. How much more me? And God said, are you not much more better than they? That means he can also supply you. That was my emancipation. That even if it's about to be dry, the ravens, they are here. So I can tell you today that as I speak, I've done nothing. But it will not last more than tomorrow. That revelation shifted. Thank you, Lord. Okay. And as much as revelations are important, obedience is much more important. I just heard my father. Because he's saying that there are people who want access to revelation, but they have little obedience. Little or no obedience. And obedience is better than sacrifice. So you can have access to revelation if you do not obey God. You are plaguing yourself. Not to say that God will plague. No, it is you. The things that you see in your life are the result of either your obedience or your disobedience. Hear that? Let me say it again. The things that you see in your life are the result of either your obedience or disobedience. This is what I'm saying. If God tells you, am I rushing? Okay. If God tells you that this is a fire body, please look at me. This is a fire body, right? And this is your God, this is you. And God tells you that don't touch this fire because it is autumn. God spoke to you. Let's say that you were recalcitrant and you intentionally disobeyed. You touched the fire. Preachers tell us that it is God who causes that error. No, it was your disobedience that caused it. God already forewarned you. But they tell us that it's God that punished you. Because the way we present God, I don't understand. Say it was God who punished the God. What punished you was your disobedience. Your refusal to obey him is what caused you to hurt your hand. Is that true? So it's all about you. It's not even about the devil. In these two equations,
It's not about the devil. The best the devil can do to you is to speak to you. It will not be impossible. Right? That's best. If you look at a man, you look at a woman once and you take off your eyes. You know, the first time you look at that lady, something's registered already. And you're just going on your own, and the devil will just come and just whisper to you, did you see that lady well? Amen. Did you see the lady well? See, your second turning was not because the devil turned you. You were the one who turned. Do you understand? You can, as he's speaking, you can continue to be looking like this. If you are hearing him, but you are looking. But if you turn, it was not the devil. You turned. Are you following me now? You know, you can test the devil one day. Please follow me. Are you with me now? Can we try it? You can test. If the devil tells you, maybe he told you to steal. Maybe you saw the money around your corridor and he told you to pick it. You know what you tell him? Tell him that, can you take my hand to pick it? Tell him to take your hand. You don't get it. Because if you naturally stretch your hand, you were the one who stretched it. You stretched your hand. Do you know the process it takes for a man to fall? Do you know? You now say you failed. No, you didn't fall. You did it intentionally. That is not falling. Because how will a man fall? That man has reason enough to remove belt. You can reason enough to open the zip, right? The zipper. You remove it, you draw your trouser down. There's still one thing you have not conquered. There's still an underpant. Your hand carry the thing. Do you understand? You now say you fell. What kind of falling? No. Oh, you are not getting it. No, is that a fall? You say you fell. But your instinct didn't tell you not to remove your belt. Everything that you did there, you did it by yourself. That was a planned work. You planned it. Because you remove belt, unlock the button, say 2, the zipper 3, you drop down your trouser 4, right? Then there's something you have not on. Do you understand? You did that one. That's how many? 5.
Yes.
How will a man go through 5 stages to fall? That's intentional. Are you getting it? And the point is, even that thing, it is location specific. Is that it? Why can't you go to ShopRite and go and do it there? Where people are buying and selling. That you look for a convenient place. Jonathan, you are saying convenient place. Yes, even what you are taking is still a convenient place. In the car, it's still convenient. Why can't you do it in the open? So that's not folly. It's decision. Your instinct told you that this thing, we can't do it outside. That thing that tells you to go to a place that is convenient means that you planned it. Faith is the work of the devil. It's work of the devil. That's why I love that book of James. You know, there was no place that the devil was mentioned. in that equation, no, the devil was not mentioned. He said, if any man, right, that man is drawn away by his own lust. The devil was not mentioned. Don't give power to the devil. He has been rendered impotent. Jesus made a public spectacle of him. You are the one empowering him. The devil is less powerful, but the believers empowering him. But ye are not in the flesh, right? But in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So listen, you can't tell us that you are born again and you don't have the spirit. That's where I'm going to. Because some people believe that you can be born again and it is later. Maybe the day you go in trance is the day that the Holy Spirit came. If any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So the Bible says that the Spirit dwells in you. And if you read verse 11, it says, if the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in your mortal bodies, he that raised Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Quicken me to call upon your name. Every minute and every hour, Lord, quicken me to not depart from you. Do not depart from you. Every minute and every hour. Every minute and every hour, Lord, say quicken me, yeah. Quicken me to call upon your name.
To call upon your name.
Every minute,
every minute, every hour, Lord,
say quicken me, O God,
quicken me
to not depart from you,
to not depart from you.
Every minute and every hour, God,
every minute, every hour, Lord,
continually set on fire. Set us on fire, that we may run to you the very prayer. Continually, set us on fire. Set us on fire.
Set us on fire.
That we will burn.
That we will run to the very prayer.
Continually, set us on fire. Set on fire,
oh,
that we will bow to you every year. We need me to call upon your name every minute and every hour, Lord. Oh God, we need me to not depart from you. Every minute and every hour, Lord,
say, quicken me, O God, quicken me to not depart from you.
Every minute,
every minute and every hour, Lord,
continually set us on fire. Set
continually
set us on fire. Set
Apostle Paul speaking, he says, my little children, in whom I travail in Bethlehem, until Christ be formed in you. So we must understand that there's the reception of Christ in the believer, and there's also the formation of Christ in the believer. There's a receptive experience, and there's the formative experience. So the journey of the believer now, and I expect that you should focus on. Don't focus on, I'm going to meet, I'm going to pray, I'm going to fall. Focus on building yourself. Focus on the study of God's word. Focus on prayers. See, don't mind anything. Let that be your focal point. Let that be that you pursue. Don't even allow it ring in your head that you feel. Don't open that window. That's the problem. Don't open the window. I tell you, the devil takes advantage of it. He does. What should you pursue? Even to your last breath, is the word of God. The word to your last breath, to you. That's my charge for us. I'm included. You know, some people they derive pleasure in saying that somebody will phone call. Don't worry. He will phone call, don't worry. Let's just give him time. They say that over you. They said that over me. They will wait forever. Do you understand?
There is a place that we rest within Christ. In Christ alone, my hope is found.
No power of hell, no scheme of man shall ever pluck me from his hand. On my first day, that was the only thing God gave me. The Holy Spirit. I just placed it. Some of you will see it now. Hallelujah. Please let that be your confession. Please. Okay. Thank you, precious Father. We are going to make progress on that verse 13. And we'll move. Try to move. Let's do our confession. That's how we keep it to time. Oh, thank you, Lord. Alright, confession. You see, listen. This confession, I tell you, don't turn it to rituals. Like every time we just confess it. No. You have seen the result of what this thing does, right? At least you have seen. Let it be registered within your subconsciousness. I guess it's still one of the topics I want to treat, right? Want to treat consciousness. Is that true? I will try to explain so many things to us. Look at those gates.
let it register. Such that when you are in your sleep, you can still be recounting it. Are you following me? I was saying to somebody, you see, this confession we are doing is also a form of prayer. Yes. Do you know that normally this is how the Hebrew people do? Right? They'll begin to speak the Torah, saying it to themselves. This is what Muslims learned. So what is it that they are doing? Like this. And they'll be talking. Right? It's like a form of meditation that has now become their medication. No, meditation should become your medication. Do you understand that? It should become your what? Medication. So, confessing this to yourself, you are doing yourself a great thing. You are declaring your reality. When you walk in with that, you walk in this one. Are you following me? You work with the company. I am in the company of the God class. I am in the company of the God class. So, you see, don't just say because pastor is saying it. Involve your meditation. Involve your imagination, sorry. Involve your imagination, involve your emotion. I'm teaching you things. Involve your what? As you are saying it, as I'm saying it, you are saying it, you are involving your imagination. You are seeing yourself. I teach you how confession works. Like there's something I've imagined just now, but you don't know. I just saw myself in a place. It is spiritual transport. But I transported myself by the gateway of my imagination. That's why if we want something to happen in a meeting, there's a way we can bring our imagination into it that will make those things happen. Together. Don't worry. Those are advanced classes. I am in the company of the God class. I live in the supernatural realm. I do things natural, supernaturally. Oh God. And things supernatural, naturally. I have rules. And authority over sin, death, sickness, and poverty, immortality, and supernaturality are my realities, even in my mortality. No one can talk me out of the supernatural. I am completely supernatural. I am in the company of the God class. I live in the supernatural class. I do things natural, supernatural, and things supernatural, natural. I have rule and authority over sin, death, sickness, and poverty, immortality, and supernaturality, are my reality, even in my mortality. No more can talk me out of the supernatural. I am completely supernatural. I am in the company of the God class. I live in the supernatural class. I do things natural, supernatural. I have rule and authority over sin, death,
sickness, and poverty,
immortality,
and supernaturality,
are my reality.
Even in my mortality,
no one
can talk me out of the supernatural. I am completely supernatural. Shout, I am completely in Christ.
I am completely in Christ.
Oh, thank you, Lord. This confession is amazing. I don't know if you know. There's what it does to me, Pastor. Thank you, Lord. Your name alone be glorified. In Jesus' precious name. Shalom. God bless you. God bless you.
We believe you have been greatly blessed. To connect with us more, follow us on our social media platforms at Menorah SOS on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also join us live every first and last Saturday of the month on Facebook and MixLR at Menorah-SOS. Thank you for listening.